Well, good morning again. We're going to go back to the book of James. And I believe we left off at about verse 14. So that's where we'll take up at. But before we get into that, remembering that James is teaching and concerned about the doctrinal purity of the church. And so I wanted to tell you a little story, and this is a true story. And it involves somebody that I know personally, and many of you may. I'm not going to give a name because the name's not important. It was the action that mattered. So Dr. Carter preached, this was many, many years ago. I'd say maybe 15 to 20 years ago. He preached a message about straddling the fence. Now, I don't know if you know what that means, but if you're straddling the fence, you're not on either side. You know, and so when he was teaching, he was teaching about God in the Bible. So what he was talking about and straddling the fence, I mean, whose side are you on? He was saying that you need to stop straddling the fence and you need to decide who you're going to serve. Now, so I want you to think about this. If you're straddling that fence and you jump on God's side and you decide you're going to serve and follow the Lord, if you didn't and you was to jump on the other side, whose side are you on? You're on the devil's side, amen? Now, see, that's something a lot of times when the message was being delivered, people don't think about that. But there's only two sides. So either you're on God's side and you're with God or you're against God. Well, he preached that message, and I didn't know it at the time, but there was several people. And it's funny how people perceive or how people take a message. You never know what people goes through somebody's mind. But this young man, I saw him many years later, and I invited him back to church. And he let me know that he wasn't coming back to church, that he was no longer straddling the fence, that he decided not to straddle the fence. And unfortunately, he jumped off on the wrong side. Now, that young man has suffered many hardships since then, and a good young man. And I hate it, but folks, think about that. That's where a lot of our young people are today. They stopped straddling the fence. And unfortunately, they didn't jump off on God's side. They jumped off on the devil's side. Now, they don't perceive it that way. But that's the way it is. That's the reality of it. Either you're serving God or you're serving the world. And if you're serving the world, you're serving Satan. So that's where a lot of our young people are today. And that's what this lesson here in James, the reason I brought that up, because a lesson here in James does the same thing. You've got to make a decision. And I'm going to tell you, when I go through this, some people are going to be upset. I didn't write any of it. Okay? God used James to pen this. And he penned it for a purpose, and that purpose is doctrinal purity. And unfortunately, today in the church, most churches are sticking to anything but the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here at this church, we still preach the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. We still stand for the truth. Now, it might rub somebody in here the wrong way. If it does, I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for it. You need to make the decision. Because if it's rubbing you the wrong way, like Pastor Carter always says, turn the cat around. You know, but if it's rubbing you the wrong way, it's not me that has the problem. And this is what happens when a lot of us so-called Christians, as we've gone through the years here, I've seen a lot of college students, second, third, fourth year college students, get saved. You know why that is? Because they've been straddling the fence. You know, youngsters, a lot of times in camp meetings, in church services, in Sunday school, on the bus, in the street even, they are led to the Lord and they make a profession of faith. Well, the problem is they've made a profession, but what they were really looking for was some fire insurance. They didn't want to go to hell, but they didn't really want to serve God. And they didn't truly understand exactly what they were doing. And that's part of what James goes through right here. And a lot of people get upset. Work salvation is taught through this part of chapter 2 right here. And this is where work salvation comes in. because people don't understand what God is saying to them. So we need to listen to what the Lord says. And if it offends you, you're the one who has an issue. You need to look at yourself and say, why is this bothering me? Because when I read this, there's nothing here that offends me. You know, I see the truth for what it is. And by the way, if I'm wrong on anything, I want God to point it out to me. I want to know that I'm wrong because I want to believe what God has written to be truth. And I don't want to be off on my doctrine. I want to know that truth is truth. And the problem is, you know, I said something last week about idolatry. And we'll get into that a little bit later on. But that's something to think about. Idolatry is idol worship. That's what it is. It's just idol worship. And I think I mentioned the fact that we make up a God in our own minds. And that's the God we serve. So keep that in mind as we go through this portion of James. Because, folks, there's a lot of people today, I'm sorry, but if the trumpets sound, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to be here that thought they was going to heaven. Because they're not truly serving the true living God. They're serving a God that they have created. And like it or not, God's God, and he's not going to bend to your ways. And so many times we act like our sin should be okay. That God can let me get by with it. No. Sin is sin. And God's not going to allow any of it. Either it's right or it's wrong. And that's where we need to stand. So let's go to verse 14. I'm pretty sure chapter 2, in verse 14, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" That's where we stopped at last week. And I told you, that's a good question. Now, I don't know how you answered that to yourself. I don't know if you thought about it or if you read anything about the chapter. But if you said yes, you was probably wrong. Now, I got some strange looks now. But you was probably right, too. And if you said no, you were probably wrong. But you were probably right. Now, I know that don't make a whole lot of sense, does it? But it's going to make sense to you as we move through the chapter right here. Look at verse 15. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food..." Now, what does it mean to be naked and destitute of daily food? Folks, that means we're doing without, right? That means we're doing without something. Verse 16, "And one of you saying to them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" Ask yourself, I mean, if somebody was coming here and they're hungry and they're naked doesn't mean that you're butt naked. It just means that you need clothes. Your clothes that you have are worn and ragged and you need something to wear. And we just bid them good speed and send them on down the highway. Now, wouldn't that just be a wonderful, good Christian attitude? See, all of us are good Christians until we have to what? Reach in that pocket. As soon as you got to reach in that pocket, all of a sudden you're not a Christian anymore. You know, the Bible tells us that if you have two coats and the man's in need of one, give him the other one. You know, Christ lives in here. When we get saved, if you truly got saved, Christ takes up residence in your heart, does he not? So if he took up residence in my heart, I can't be the same person. I might look the same, but I'm not the same person. I have to be different. Now, with that being said, I want to go on to, has any of you ever read A.W. Tozer's book, Knowledge of the Holy? It's an awesome book. Might have it at the counter back here. And if not, you can get it down at the library. I'm sure they still have it down there. It's just an awesome book. And he asked a question. And I wrote the quote down here. I want to make sure I get it right. This is the question that he put to you. What comes into your minds when we think of God is the most important thing about us. That was the statement that he made. Now just think about that a moment. What comes into your mind when you think about God? That's the most important thing about you. And the reason for that is because that's idolatry. You understand that? It's what you think of God. And folks, what do I know? What do you know? What do we know about God that we can, in our minds, develop a God? You see what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Because, folks, all that we know about God is what we have right here in this book. And that's it. Outside of that, we don't know anything about God. So it's very important that we stick to what? The book. Because this is the only truth that we have about God. So anything else that we put into our minds is idolatry. It's not real. It's things that we choose for our God to be. It's kind of like putting our God in a box and putting him on a shelf. And that's what many people do today. That's what churches have done. You go over in Revelations and read about the church age. I mean, they have put God in a box. And they have limited God as to what he can do. Where's the power of the church today? Folks, we are the church. We make up the body of Christ. Not the building, but the people. And if there's no faith in the people, then there's no power in the church. That power of the church comes from God through us, the faith that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith has, what you think about God depends on everything that you do every day of your life. The way you dress, there he goes, talking about dress. Yes, because it's important. If you honor God and love God with all your heart the way we're commanded to, if we love God that way, then we want to dress for who? Our God. And this is what we do, especially when we come to God's house. But a lot of us, when we come to God's house, well, I want to be comfortable. Well, you're not here to be comfortable. You're here to be in God's house. You're in the presence of a holy God. This is his house. We're supposed to respect all that he is. Therefore, I should present myself the best I can. Now, if I have the best I have, then that's all that I can do. God knows that. But we should present ourselves as God-fearing and God-loving people. Everything that we do, the way we treat our fellow man, we're supposed to love our brothers and sisters. That doesn't mean we're all about everybody else's business, but we're supposed to love each other. And no matter what happens, we should still love each other. If we have somebody who's fallen in the church, do we kick them aside? No, we love them. We love them, we nourish them, and train them, and teach them, and keep them into the fold. That's what we're supposed to do. It's just hard for us to get a hold to that sometimes. And look at verse 15 and 16. If a brother be or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them those things which are needful. To the body, what does it profit? We just went through that. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith by itself is dead. Right? People say, well, that's how I'm saved. I'm saved by faith. Well, turn over to Romans chapter 10. Chapter 10, book of Romans. It'll take you but a second to get there. And look at verse 9. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. See, we want to leave that out, don't we? We don't want to think about that part of it. Believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So how are we saved? We're saved by our faith in what we believe where? In the heart. And we believe unto what? Unto righteousness. Now, folks, let me tell you something. If God has moved inside of here, and you're going on through your day just like you've always gone, then did God move in here? Ask yourself that. Because if God moved in here, there's going to be a difference. You're going to start to change. Your attitude is going to start to change. The things you think are going to start to change. The things that you seek are going to start to change. If there's no change, then there's probably an issue. And that issue is with you. Because it says, believe with thy heart. Now, I understand that new Christians don't understand everything about the Bible. But if you truly believe and you believe in the heart and the Lord Jesus moves in, that light comes in and there's a light on. Now, you know, we can backslide and we can dim that light, but that light's never going out. That light's there to stay. So if the attitude hasn't changed, and I see this so many of our young people. Folks, you know, you say, well, yeah, but he's a good young man or she's a good young lady. But I see that in the world. I know a lot of people that's lost and on their way to hell, but they're good people. They're friendly. They'll treat you good. Matter of fact, some of them treat you better than Christians. I mean, they'll feed you. They'll clothe you. They'll give you everything they've got. Just wonderful people. But that's not going to get them to heaven. It's what's on the inside. Look down here, verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Think about that for a moment. If I was to ask you to show me your faith without your works, let me see them. Show me your faith. That's really hard to do, isn't it? It's so hard. How are you going to show me your faith without works? You know, coming to church is a work. You understand that? Just being here, getting up and getting yourself ready and being here, that's showing a sign of faith. But somebody has no faith. I know people who claim to be Christians, but there's no fruit. Absolutely zero. They live just like the world. They act just like the world. And their daily lives is just like the world. You think they're saved? I don't know. That young man that jumped off the fence on the wrong side, he claimed to be saved. But I'll tell you this, if the rapture takes place, I don't want to be in his shoes. Now, whether he's saved or not, I don't know. I can only go by what I see. God's the only one that sees the heart. But I sure wouldn't want to be in his shoes, I can tell you that. And there's a lot of so-called Christians today that are the same way. They claim to be saved. Yeah, but I'm saved by faith. But what's James saying right here? If Christ moved in here, how can there be no works whatsoever? I don't see how Christ can live in me and not be some type of works, some type of change. There have to be a change. You know, you understand that light and dark can't occupy the same space. It can be cold black in here, but if you flip the switch and the light comes on, the dark flees, doesn't it? You understand it's the same way with you? When Christ moves in, the light comes on, the darkness has got to flee. Now, we're still in these sin-cursed bodies. We're stuck with them. We can't get rid of them until the rapture sounds or until we die and go to be with the Lord. So we're stuck in these sin-cursed bodies. But on the inside, there should be a change. We should be trying to do better. Every day of our lives, we should be trying to do better. Yes, there are hard times. Yes, we mess up. Yes, we do things we ought not do. We say things we ought not say. All of us, we're all guilty, every single one of us. But that doesn't mean that there's not a light on. That doesn't mean that there's not some type of fruit. So what's James saying? James is not teaching works salvation. That's not what he's teaching. And that's what a lot of people get out of this. But that's not what he's saying. If you back up and read where you started and go through the whole entire chapter, he's not teaching salvation by works. What he is saying is that if you're saved, there's going to be works. It's literally impossible for God to be in here and a light not shine somewhere. It's not going to happen. If you're dead, you're dead. Faith without works is dead. Verse 19 said, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Going back to the faith thing, think about that. The devils They believe in one God and tremble. You understand that they've seen God? I haven't. I haven't seen him. Have you? But they're still going to hell. So you can have faith in one God. So here's the problem. Who is that one God? What God do you have faith in? Do you have faith in the true living God, the God of this Bible? Or do you have faith in the God that you created in your mind, that A.W. Tozer was talking about? Is that the God that you serve? Is that the God that you believe in? Is that the God of your faith? Because if you have the faith of the holy God, things are going to change. You know, even atheist has a faith. There's all kinds of faith, but they're not true faith. Our faith is true. Our faith is the real faith. If you're trusting in the holy God. Verse 19. Thou believest there. I already just did that. Verse 20. But without know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. There he goes again. We've gone full circle. Started up here and come all the way back around again. Faith without works is dead. In other words, if you have a faith and there's no works, then your faith is not much. You're not trusting in the true God. Because if you're trusting in the true God, there's going to be works. I said it before and I'll say it again. God's not going to move in here and be void. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and he's moved in here, it's not going to be void. There's going to be evidence of some type of works. That's what James is saying. That's what James is teaching. And a lot of us don't want to hear that. I hear Christians, I've heard so-called Christians all the time saying, well, I'm saved by faith. I'm not saved by what I do. That's not what the Bible's teaching us. And they say, well, Paul teaches something different. No, he don't. Paul doesn't teach anything different. He just says all he says in a different way. But the teachings are the same. There's no contradictions between what Paul taught and what James is teaching. James is being a little more blunt. James is getting down to my level. You know, somebody that's thick-headed and slow and not real, real educated, sometimes you just got to be plain and blunt. That's what I understand. And that's what James is doing. He's being blunt. He's putting it right there where the tire meets the road. There's no getting around it. Either you have works or you don't. And chances are, if you don't have works, chances are you're not saved. That's basically what James is saying. Because if Jesus is in here, there's going to be works. And so I know we're here in a group that a lot of people are elderly people. And it's, well, I can't work. That's not true. You're here. If you're here this morning, you worked. You got up. You got yourself prepared to be here this morning. You know, the preacher needs somebody to preach to, right? Hey, it helps to be here. Just being here and being faithful to the church, being faithful to God, makes a difference. And that is a work. Praying is a work. Just pray. Pray for those who need your help. Pray for the youngsters. Pray for those who's jumping off on the wrong side of the fence. There's a lot of our young people that are jumping off on the wrong side of the fence. And folks, let me tell you something. Sometimes we want to water everything down so much because we don't want to offend anybody. You know how many non-offended people are going to be in hell? I'd rather offend you and you know the truth. If me hurting your feelings and let you know the truth and get you saved, that's where I want to be. Because it's not about me. You don't have to like me. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to like me. You need to love God. Your eyes need to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where I'm trying to turn you, just like I try to keep myself there. We need to know who God is, and we need to know who Jesus is. And we're not going to do that by watering down the gospel, watering everything down, and not preaching the truth of what it is. Sin is sin. Teach it like it is. People don't want to talk about homosexuality. A lot of churches don't want to, they're afraid to say anything. The Bible says it's sin. It does not matter what my opinion is. God says it's sin. Lying is sin. Killing is sin. You know, stealing is sin. You know, just because, I didn't really steal it. It was just lying there and nobody was using it. So I thought I could, hey, I could use it. It's stealing. Any way you look at it, you water it down all you want to, it's still stealing. It's still sin. And that's what we need to know. We need to know and understand where we're at every day in our lives and quit watering down the truth. Folks, I know we're among the best of the best. There's no two ways about it. But we still try to step over that line sometimes. We still try to wiggle towards the wrong side. Why? Because it suits us. We're still stuck in these sin-cursed bodies. You know, have you ever gone back to get that next piece of chicken and you knew you was full? But man, it was so good. I just one more piece, just one more piece. You know, that's a sin. But you know, well, hey, God's going to forgive me. It's just a piece of chicken. But it's still sin. No matter what it is, no matter what it pertains to, it's still sin. And us as Christians should not live that kind of a life. And folks, a lot of Christians are doing this. I'm guilty, you're guilty, we're all guilty, because we know we have forgiveness. Now we'll go ahead and do that. God's going to forgive me. God help us. But we do that. We know God loves me. He's going to forgive all my sin. They're all paid for. They're under the blood of Christ. And they are. But is that the attitude that we should really be having? No. We're supposed to set the example in everything. And that's not easy. That's very hard to do. But that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be the Christians. We're supposed to be the light of the world until the Lord returns. That light that lives in us. That's what we're supposed to be doing. It's not easy to do. It's hard. But that's our job. Verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Well, was he? Was he justified by work? Yes. His work was what? Evidence of his faith. Because he loved God and because he believed God, he offered his son as a sacrifice. How many of us in here today think would you do that? Would you put your son on an altar to be sacrificed? Abraham did. That's how much Abraham loved and trusted God. How far from that are we today? Folks, we got a lot of learning to do. And that's what James is trying to tell us right here. We need to open our eyes to the truth of what God is teaching us. Because, folks, we're a long ways from where Abraham was. Jesus wasn't there for him, was he? He hadn't been crucified yet. But his love and his faith and his trust in the Lord led him to do what he did. And what does it say about Abraham? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Amen. What a blessing that is, to be called the friend of God. Can you imagine that? Folks, I wished I had that much faith. You know, I know some of you might be a little more righteous than I am, but if I had that much faith, I wouldn't need these glasses this morning. That's the plain truth. If I had that much faith in my God as Abraham had, I could throw these glasses away because God would take care of my eyes. That's the truth. I hate to say that because that hurts me inside. It literally hurts me that I don't trust my God that much. But there's a lot of us in here wearing them, aren't we? And you understand each and every one of us are in the same boat. If we trusted God that much, we could throw them away. Folks, that's the reality of our God right there. That's how big our God is. But we've put him in a box. In our own minds, we've put him in a box and stuck him on a shelf. And rather than living the joys that he has offered to us, we want to live the joys that we offer to ourselves. That's where we're at. Abraham, by his works, proved his faith. That's what James is teaching right there. Folks, it's by our faith in our God. It's by our works our faith are made perfect. Folks, if you truly love your God the way you say you do, you will have works, and those works prove your faith. It proves your love for your God. And without those works, there's a lot of people today that I don't see any works. And it's not for me to see, it's up to God. It doesn't matter what my opinion is of anybody. The only one that matters is what God knows. God knows your heart, I don't. But folks, I do know this. By what I see just in the church itself, in God's so-called people, there's a lot of things missing. There's a whole lot missing. And then we pray for revival. We say that with our lips, but we're not living it with our hearts. Because if we were, there'd be a lot of things changing. Back in the day, I mean, look back. I can just look back when I was a young boy, a young teenager. The church was different then than it is now. First of all, it was full. All the ladies dressed like ladies, and the men dressed like men. The children behaved themselves. They didn't even have to go off to a side nursery. They'd sit right in church, wouldn't dare open their mouth. Because they were taught, you're in God's house. People say, well, you're nitpicking. No, I'm not. This is God's house. Go back and read in the Old Testament. Read what God says about his temple. Read the instructions that he gave Moses. Read everything that was put into the temple and the way it was. What happened if you walked into the temple? You struck dead. What happened if the priest went in unclean? He was struck dead. It's God's house. Today, naturally, Christ is our temple. But this is our place of worship. And we should treat it as such. But when our mindset is so far off of the truth, it doesn't mean that much to us. Now, we do understand that this is just a building, and we are the church, but it should still mean something to us. When we come together as a church, we should be here to worship our God, and we should honor him. We should hold him in utmost high with our persons, with our dress, with everything that we have, with our children. You wonder why our children are not here? It's because we live two different lives. We live the life on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and then we live the life that we live the rest of the week. And oftentimes, they're not the same. And then you say, well, why is my children not here? Because your children seen the life that you live both times. And if you can live this way all week and then this way on Sunday, what are you saying to your child? What you're really saying is that really doesn't matter. This is the way we really live. That's right. That's what we do. Folks, we need to get away from that. We need to adhere to what James is teaching us. Stick to the doctrine of the church. Stick to the true doctrine. Get it in our hearts and in our minds, and then live our lives accordingly. And we'll see a change, not only in ourselves, but in our churches. And I'm out of time. Brother, you got a count for us? 7:45 this morning. 2:47 on the buses. Amen. That's not too bad. All righty, we'll take about a 9-minute break and we'll come back for the preaching service.